I love to tell the story. I think my favorite verse is that one that says, I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. I never tire of hearing the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I've already been blessed this morning. As I was listening to that testimony, a little phrase kept going over and over in my mind. Crossing an ocean doesn't turn anybody into a missionary. If we don't win souls, if we're not interested in crossing the street or crossing to our next door neighbor, we'd better not be a missionary, because location doesn't make the difference. It's compassion that makes the difference. So many things I would like to say. In 2 Corinthians, very quickly, I want you to look there. Paul says in chapter 10, verse 15, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you, according to our rule, abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. And that's what missions is all about. That's what faith promise is all about. We, the hope of the missionary, is that you will have more faith. Because if your faith is increased, then our ministries can be enlarged. We can do more. These missionaries that are here this week can do more in their futures as missionaries. If you will have the faith to trust God to do what He promised. Look at verse 7 of chapter 9. Every man, total involvement, according as he hath purposed in his heart. Have you already done your praying about what you will be giving in your faith promise commitment? Before you ever write it down on that piece of paper, it should have already been determined in your heart what God would have you to do. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I've heard preachers say, God loves a cheerful giver, but he'll take it from a grouch. That's not true. Now the pastor will. But I don't believe God accepts any gift that it is given grudgingly. And He doesn't bless it. See, the whole key to faith promise, sometimes we miss. It's in verse 8. God is able to take care of those missionaries. Of course God's able to take care of those missionaries. But that's not what this verse says. Look at it very closely. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That's why I say, if we're going to do faith promise, let's put our faith in the promise of God. Not in our own promise. I've failed many times in what I've wanted to do, what I've wanted to give, and what I've wanted to be. But God has never one time in these 60 years ever failed me one time, not once. God is able. And we need to believe. That's what we trust in the ability of God to do what He said. He said, give, and it'll be given unto you. I've heard so many times, oh, if I had, I would give. No, you wouldn't. If you had, you'd probably keep it. I had a dear friend, pastor friend, one time after I'd given a testimony about some of the needs of the ministries. He said, if I had $1 million, I'd give half of it to you. I paused and I said, well, how much do you have? I'll take half of that. Didn't get it. It's easier to give what you don't have than it is to give what you've got. It's a whole lot easier. But see, that's what I love, the system of giving by faith. To me, it just makes good sense. If the just shall live by faith, then I think we could change one little letter in that phrase and it'd still be true. The just shall give by faith. You don't give what you want to give. You don't give what you can afford to give. You give what He wants you to give. You see, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But if we trust Him. And so I trust when it comes time to fill out your faith promise commitment slip. And some people don't like to call it a commitment, but it is a commitment. And it's not a conditional thing saying, if God provides it, I'll give it. No, it's a commitment that says, I will give what God has laid on my heart, and I'm going to trust God to take care of all the rest of my needs. And that's exactly what He's going to do. Now, very quickly, I want you to turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 37. Because in the amount of time I have this morning, I want to challenge your hearts. I never take it for granted when God gives me the opportunity to be the speaker at a missions conference or to go like I'm going to be going October the 10th to Bangladesh and Philippines in three or four different places and throughout Japan, challenging people to do more for the glory of God and challenging people to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. I never take it for granted. Paul said in 2 Corinthians there, chapter 5, he said, I pray you in Christ's stead. Pastor, did you realize every time you preach, you're standing representing Jesus Christ? That you're His spokesman? And if Jesus could be here, what would He say? And I try, as much as I fail, I try my best to represent Him. But as I look back over a lifetime, I still remember as a little 11-year-old boy when I heard the gospel for the first time. And I heard that I had a Heavenly Father who loved me. Nobody had ever loved me that I know of. But I heard that I had a Heavenly Father who loved me. In Psalms chapter 37, very simple, three verses. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Standing at this point in the life that God's gave me, this verse is precious because I know it's true. From experience, Some of you are going to have to take it by faith because you haven't made as many steps as I have. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, who is the he? Is this God that delights? I think it's both. God delights when we're willing to follow him in the steps that he has provided for us. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And I do delight. What a joy it has been to spend the last 60 plus years following his steps. Seeing him work miracle after miracle. Church after church being planted. Soul after soul being saved. I remember in China leading a young mother and her mother to the Lord. They wanted me to lead them to Christ, and Brother Ken Lawman was my interpreter. So in three different languages, I would go through the plan of salvation. Ken would put it into Chinese. The lady would pray it in Chinese, and then he would tell me what she'd say and all. And she and her daughter trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. I could tell you person after person after person. Not because of my greatness, but because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The first step is the step of faith, trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Are you absolutely, without any doubt, positive that you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Our theme this week is to know him and then to make him known. Do you know him? Are you absolutely sure? If you are not absolutely sure, then you should take that step of faith this morning and make sure you have the assurance of your. The first step is the step of faith. The second step, I think, is the step of following. And usually the first act of following the Lord after we've taken the step of faith is believer's baptism. Are you here this morning and have never followed the Lord in believer's baptism? You know, that's one of the things you don't have to pray about. God's not going to change his word. And it is his command that every believer follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I think there are probably some here this morning who should make that commitment and say, I'm going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and become a part of this local church. And then the step of faithfulness. Lord, what would you have me to do? To make him known. I guarantee you, there is no way that you can disagree with me. In some form, in some fashion, when you say, Lord, what would you have me to do? It will have something to do with making him known. God wants you to use you to make him known. Next verse. And I love this verse. I've needed it so much. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the stumblings of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He takes care of us. Stumbling provides help. He Look at the verse. Though he fall, and he will. Over and over and over again. He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Remember old Peter? When the Lord came walking to them on the water. And Peter looked out and he said, Lord, if it's you, you can even make me walk on water. You see, that's one of the things we need to believe. That we can do all things through Christ. We're not limited as long as we're relying upon His power. Without Him, we can do nothing. With Him, there's nothing we cannot do. Even walk on water. Peter said, if it's you, Lord, then you bid me come. You can even make me walk on water. And I love it when the Lord said, come on. And we, poor old Peter, we criticize him so much because he sank in the water. But he's walked a whole lot further on water than I ever have. I don't know how many steps he took, but that's that many more steps than I've ever taken. That's why I get upset when people talk about missionary casualties and how awful it is that so many missionaries leave the mission field. And excuse me, it is awful, especially for the nationals. But I often say when I preach to pastors now, please don't be overly critical of the man who sinks in the water if you've never even got out of the boat. If you've never even gotten out of the boat. I've seen a lot of missionaries that have left the mission fields. But so far I've never met one that wanted to. Not one time. And I've never met one who was not effective in some way because he came. The stumblings of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Stumbling brings help from the only one who can help us. Peter began to sink, but he knew not what to do. Do you know what to do when you start sinking? If you're trying to walk on water, but to become a missionary or to become whatever God wants you to be, there will be times when you will need to know the lesson Peter had to learn. That's to say, Lord, save me. With His mighty hand, He reached under Peter, lifted him up, and I don't believe he sank even 1 centimeter into the water because of the weight of Peter upon him. And carried him back to the boat. How many times over and over and over he's carried me back to the boat. And he's always been there. Stumbling brings help. Stumbling gives humility. And stumbling puts you in his hands. Sensing the hand of God upon your mission. The greatest fear of my missionary life has been that I'd get in the way of what God wants to do. Here, Lord, I can do it. Okay, give it a try. Lord, save me. And He does. And over and over again, I've learned that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I've learned that the stumblings of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And then, now I'm learning. Verse 25. I have been young, and now I'm old. I like to say, no, I'm not. Not yet. I'm older. My mother-in-law gave me some good advice one time. She said, it's great to get older, but don't ever get old. And that's good advice. Old is a mindset. Getting older is the... There's only one alternative. So when you complain about being older, are you really asking for the alternative? I don't think so. I've got something on my heart that I want you to get in this morning service. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He's never forsaken me once. And then I love the last part of this verse where it says, he's going to take care of my children. Both my physical children and my spiritual children. When you know that people you've led to Christ are going to face persecution, difficulty, challenge, being forsaken by everybody else, you know that they'll never be forsaken by the Lord. So I believe with all my heart that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now first, let's make a pause. We've got a problem in this verse, because the Bible says there's none good. No, not one. So who can claim to be a good man? Only those who have had him who knew no sin to become sin for them, that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. God didn't just make us righteous when we got saved. It wouldn't have taken us very long to mess that up. He gave us his righteousness. And in exchange, he took our sin. He took upon himself the form of sinful man. Now, he was never a sinner. He became sin, but he never became a sinner. But because of his sacrifice, because Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, we have been made the righteousness of God in him. And for the first time, vicariously, we can be called a good man. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, planned, prepared by the Lord. And though we fail, and we will over and over and over again, we won't be utterly cast down, because the stumblings of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But my final point, very simply, and I'm speaking from my heart, is that I believe the seasons of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And the hand of God is as much upon the life of this 75, almost 76-year-old man as they were on that little 12-year-old boy that said, Lord, if you'll take me, I give me to you. And he did. And every day of my life, with new strength for the day, day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Savior's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. In a few weeks, a few days actually, I'm going to Bangladesh. The first time I went to Bangladesh, I was scared to death. I'll be honest with you. Most of the time I'm not afraid when I go to different countries. But in this country, there had been a series of kidnaps of American people in the Muslim country, and I got in 6 hours late. It was the middle of the night, little old shabby airport. There was two tables with a light bulb over each one. One of them had scribbling that I couldn't read, and the other one said foreigner. And I thought, great, that's me. I'm the only foreigner on this plane. This won't take long. By the time they were finished with the whole crowd of the rest of them that were there, I was still standing there. And that man had that little card, and he'd say, "Write." And I'd say, "What do you want me to write?" "Write." And I'd say, "I don't know. I've written, everything's filled in." "Write." And finally, after everybody else finished at that other table, the other man came over. And he could speak a little bit of English. I thought, duh. Why didn't they put him at the first table and get this over with? But somehow they thought that I didn't have a complete address. And thank the Lord, I had a brochure from the hospital where I was going for Dr. Tomioka, one of our Japanese medical missionaries. One of the most fantastic places I've ever been in my life. And they finally accepted it. And he had me write on there, "Hospital." Just the word "hospital." Not the name of the hospital or anything. And I wrote it on, and he let me in. I can remember thinking as we went to this dark, desolate, one-room place with a mosquito net over it, and we climbed up those little stairs, and I laid down on that cot. The people who picked me up at the airport couldn't speak English. I didn't know what was happening to them, and they left me at this little place. The next morning, about 7 o'clock in the morning, they showed up to get me, thank the Lord. But I can remember thinking, if I ever get out of here, I'm getting too old for this. I won't be back. This is not my third time. God began to do a work not only in their hearts, but in my heart. I saw 87 former Muslims and Hindus follow the Lord in believers' baptism. They have a correspondence school of over 1,200 Muslims that are sending in every week, week after week. They have a Christian school. They have a hospital. They have an orphanage. It is the most amazing. If I were to pick one place on earth that is the most amazing missionary ministry I've ever seen, that would be this place. And I'm a little bit prejudiced and thankful that it's by one of our Japanese. He's doing a great job. His wife is a concert pianist, gone over there and taught those little children how to sing and play musical instruments, and they'll be glorifying the Lord all over that nation. So exciting. The seasons of a good man. As I stand here this morning, I look out over this congregation, and we do have people here who are at different seasons in their life. But each one of those seasons, step by step, is ordered by the Lord. God knows what He wants from you right now. It wasn't what you gave Him yesterday. Now, He wants faithfulness. He wants you to be true to the commitments you made yesterday. But God is always giving vision for future. What does God want you to do in this church in the days ahead? Without being critical, I can't help but think there are so many used-to-be's in our churches. Oh, I used to sing in the choir. Oh, I used to teach Sunday school. I used to drive a bus. I used to go out on soul winning every week when we had soul winning time. I used to. God doesn't need any used to be's. No matter what your age, God is still looking for gonna be's. I'll do whatever God wants me to do. And if you're asked to serve, your answer should never be, "Oh, Pastor, I can't do that." It should be, "Well, Pastor, I'll try. I'll do my best, and God can bless. I have been young. I wish I had time to tell you how the Lord looked at the Lord. My life began, I was born in Pennsylvania, only lived there 4 days. My grandmother came and found us on a Greyhound bus because my mother had gone out. Well, I had an older brother who didn't have anything to eat, so she went out and found a policeman to ask him if she could get some food for. And he turned us in, and somehow the word got back to my mother's mother, and she came on a Greyhound bus and picked us up. I often say, I never had a basket, but God rescued me in a bus. Then I grew up with my grandmother until I was 9 years old. And then, as you heard last night, if you were there, God rescued me again by putting me in a place where I could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as an 11-year-old boy, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was able to go to a camp because somebody else paid my way. And at that camp, God called me to be a missionary. And listen, when a child says God's called me to be a missionary, please, please, please take it seriously. And follow the teachings of the Scripture when it says bring up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he'll be a missionary. I believe that with all my heart. Now, mine was the opposite. Everything was against me. My own pastor, when I told him I was going to be a missionary, he said, well, you always were the dumb one. No way you could ever be a missionary. Well, my family was against me being in church. There was no real reason why I could succeed as a missionary. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I even got to go for almost 2 years to a Christian high school, the first Christian high school in the state of West Virginia. But we went up through the week and came home every weekend, stayed in the dormitory. Someone else was paying my way, of course. But one weekend I went home and my dad, laughing, said, guess what? You're not going back to that school anymore. And on Monday morning, I was in the public high school, Sherman High School. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And we started a little Bible club in that school with 3 students. We're told we couldn't meet in the school, and there was all kinds of friction. But by the end of that year and a half or so that I was there in that high school, we had a Bible club of over 300 students. We had a banquet on prom night. Now, a lot of people today don't fully understand when I tell this story, but it was true. We young people knew that we had no business as Christians being at the prom. So we had a banquet. Oh, the school was so against it. We got called into the office over and over. Have it on a different night. Of course, we were too stubborn to do that. But we had more young people at our banquet than they had at the prom. After all the harassment we went through, there was an old, called himself an agnostic. Coach Banks was his name. We were in the faculty meeting and they were going over and over again why we could not have our banquet on the same night as prom night. And finally, B.D. Banks spoke up, and he usually didn't speak up. He said, I have had all of this that I'm going to take. He said, it's none of our business what these young people do on their own free time if they're not on this campus. And he said, besides, what we ought to be doing is spending our time discussing how we're going to keep the kids who do come to the prom from getting drunk and killing themselves. So they left us alone for the rest of that time. 19 from our public high school are serving the Lord in full-time service. So disappointing steps even are ordered by the Lord. I told last night about how, yesterday during the luncheon, about how that being disowned by my own father gave me a marvelous opportunity to be a blessing to everybody that was disowned in Japan when they went to Bible school. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We had a big earthquake that destroyed everything we had. But as a result of that, we have much more and been many, many more people won to Christ, and the Lord has continued to bless. The seasons of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I have been young, but now I am old. You're young, but you will be old. The steps of every child of God are ordered by the Lord. Say, Lord, what would you have me do? And then obey His word. If you will seek to walk His way, you'll be His delight. As you delight yourself in Him, He'll give you all that's right. If you do seek to walk His way, there will be times when you stumble. But He'll uphold you with His hands and also keep you humble. Once I was young, but now I'm old. My life is nearly done. My time has flown so quickly by, it seems I've just begun. Now you're young, but will be old. Don't waste 1 hour or minute. Remember God while you're young. Find His path and walk in it. Don't throw away this life you have. Such loss you can't afford. The steps of every child of God are ordered by the Lord. Pastor, would you come?